It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Of course, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event is about exceptional offers, but it's also about the luxury of versatility, with space for the unexpected and the freedom of a summer day, all coming together for you at the perfect moment. Don't miss your perfect moment to experience exceptional offers on a full line of Lexus utility vehicles now until September 3rd. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Right now, join T-Mobile and get an unlimited family plan with Netflix included, so you can watch in more places than ever before on your phone, tablet, or TV. Plus, buy one Samsung Galaxy S9 and get one free with 24 monthly bill credits, so you and your family can binge your Netflix favorites on your new phones. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store today.
Unlimited data on their network. Video streams at 480p. Small fraction of customers using over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speeds. If you cancel, balances due. Well-qualified customers. Full price. 720 plus tax. Finance agreements required. Netflix for two screens. Terms apply.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Got to get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This issue of Hero Heads is brought to you by CLZ Comics, available for iOS and Android from collectorswithaz.com. Excellent. Welcome to the first issue of the Hero Heads podcast. Woo. I know. It's very exciting. So, just to give you a quick heads up, you can follow us on Twitter at Hero Heads. I think we're... How are we doing on that, Brian?
We're doing all right.
Excellent. All right, so let's first introduce all the Hero Heads. My name is Ryan.
My name is Brocho.
My name is Owen. You guys can call me Broen.
And I am also Ryan.
All right, so the first issue, let's talk about what it's going to be about. It's going to be about Batman.
Who?
Batman, the Dark Knight. So, what we're going to mainly, like, we're going to start out with some trivia just to see how smart each of us is. We're going to do one Hero Head per episode, and then we'll get into everything that is and will be Batman. All right? So, the app we're going to play, it's actually called Superhero Trivia. It's by Ocean Red. They make a lot of trivia games. And the first one up today is Brian, which also goes by Brocho for some reason.
Apparently also Brocho, which has a backstory that we will not go into.
I'm already having a blast on this, by the way.
Are
this
you ready? Awesome. Are you ready?
Ready as I'm ever going
to be. All right, superhero trivia, 10 questions as quick as you can.
Go.
Ready?
You got to read them.
Oh, 10 questions. What is Alfred's last name?
Hitchcock.
Can we answer if he can't answer?
What is it?
Pennyworth.
Pennyworth.
Excellent. Jinx. That is correct. What was Wonder Woman's original weakness? Is it her bracelets being bound together, her bracelets being removed, her tiara being destroyed, or Hercules' gauntlets?
Are you looking at me for help?
Yeah. I'm going to say her bracelets being removed because women love their jewelry.
All right. That seems sexist. That is wrong. It's actually when they're bound together. All right, Frederick J. Duke's villain name is Toad. True or false?
True.
That's right. That is wrong. His name is... Frederick J. Dukes is actually the Blob.
I'm off to a really good start.
The first Batgirl was Barbara Gordon. True or false?
True.
That well is wrong. Done. I'm sorry. We are looking for Betty Kane, the niece of Kathy Kane.
Of course.
Maybe next.
The cousin of Bob Kane.
Magnet's birth name is Eric Lencher. True or false?
False.
That is correct.
Hey, I got one.
Mysterio original profession was he a magician, Hollywood stuntman, marine biologist, or crime lord?
Magician.
That is wrong. He was a Hollywood stuntman.
Yes, he was.
Oh, terrible.
Okay, here we go. Clark Kent's middle name is...
Oh, I got this one.
You don't need the...
Don't even need it.
All right, go.
Joseph.
That is correct.
Boom.
What is Power Girl's weakness? Kryptonite, unprocessed natural minerals, Chemical X, or fire?
Something tells me that she shops at Whole Foods for a reason. But I'm going to say fire.
Fire. That is wrong. It's actually unprocessed natural
minerals. I was right. Oh, okay. Super.
Whose weakness is fire?
Question 9. In the comics...
Martian Manhunter.
The building on the moon that the Justice League uses is called the... Spell it. It's an open keyboard question.
Pass.
Oh my god.
That's not an option.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's...
God. Watchtower.
I don't say we say at the same time. I suffer from test anxiety for the record.
Really?
Yes.
All right. So who was that last question?
Oh, thank God.
Who was seen as the original JLA mascot? Lucas Carr. Wonder Woman, Superman, or Wonder Dog? We're not going to tell you.
I'm trying to get somebody to be nice. I'm going to go with the Superman.
Superman, that is incorrect. It was actually Lewis Carr. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
You scored. We need to make a note of this.
No, we don't have to.
Based off of time and correct answers, your score was 550 points. So we'll see who has the highest score as we continue on the podcasting.
I'm going to put my money on a certain Owen Hobbs.
I agree.
It's going to be a close one between Brian over here.
Yeah, Brian.
Brian and Ryan.
I was trying to help you out with the whole bro name.
Yeah. I don't know why. It definitely doesn't help, but I think Ryan and Owen are going to give each other a run for their money. I don't know what I'm doing
we'll
here.
We'll learn you.
I like how 555 sounds. It sounds like it would be a killer score.
Yeah, I think so.
I did really well.
555 it's better than zero, points. So I think I did pretty well.
That's exactly right.
Well, let's get with Batman real quick. I just want to give you a quick little introduction to the character. So, because of the success of Superman, 1939, the Batman was created. Do you know who he was created by?
Bob Kane.
That's right. But who helped him more than anyone? Who knows the answer? That is a shame.
I'm going to go with one of these Batman nuts over here.
I'm going to say Bill Finger.
Bill Finger. What
does that mean?
Batman originally was drawn in like a red suit. He was very the shadow, very kind of Dick Tracy kind of, you know, pulp character.
Mm.
Thanks to Bill, you know, the character developed into more of a vampire-esque bat.
Noir.
Very noir. Mm. So when people in the industry do not get credit for things they deserve, it's often called being fingered. And that's actually due to poor Bill's, not getting enough credit where credit
circumstance
is due.
Yeah.
So Batman, let's get into the Golden Age and the beginning of Batman. Owen's actually going to talk a little bit about the introduction of the character in Detective Comics number 27.
So Detective number 27... comes in, introduces my friend Batman, short gloves, big old ears, and carrying a gun, killing people, maiming people.
A Glock.
And not really caring much for whether or not he did it. Also introduces age-old origin, young Bruce Wayne, sees his parents, Thomas and Martha, get gunned down.
Crime Alley.
What was the original... What were they seeing in the theater in the original?
the mark of Zorro.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question.
It's just that we've seen that change so many times, be it with different franchises, how they've manipulated it, be it Deflate-A-Mouse or whatever else. So that's how it all started. That's how Batman came to be. And it's been quite a long journey since his creation in 1939. So we're going to talk about some of the biggest moments in Bat history. One of the ones that is probably the biggest, especially it brought it into a totally different perspective, would be The Dark Knight Returns.
Yes. Beautiful thing. Dark Knight Returns, the brilliant author, Frank Miller, and it is essentially years and years. I mean, you miss the entire mythos, like the entire story of Batman. Not miss it, but it starts afterwards. Like, Batman has come and gone, mm-hmm. And is kind of... Bruce Wayne is now just Bruce Wayne, and he's seeking his thrills elsewhere, if anything else, now that he's kind of hung up the cape and cowl. And the city has kind of gone into turmoil from that point, and you kind of run into not necessarily as many villains as some would argue... is from Batman. Like, the villains kind of had to up their ante because of Batman, so then Batman is no longer around, so then the villains kind of quiet down at that point. And mm-hmm. As far as Batman Returns goes, he kind of rises back up and begins to make a foothold in Gotham City again, and pretty much kicks ass and takes names. It's probably one of my favorite comic books. Gets another ward. By the name of Callie?
Like, I don't know, it's a weird future. What's the word they use instead of, like... like, they
Spud.
Don't... Oh, like, Spud. Yeah. Spud's Spud. Used a lot.
Spud.
And
what'd you
do? Slice and dice.
Slice and dice them. Slice and dice them.
I remember the slice. Ew,
yeah. And they use, like, they cut it in.
I used to slice and dice Spuds at a restaurant.
They turn into cavemen. He know we slice and dices. me like food.
Like, super illiterate. Super illiterate villains. Yes.
And they all kind of turn into punk rockers with,
everybody has a mohawk.
Killer glasses.
Everybody. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and,
I don't think Oakley ever released those.
It's a really cool alternate sort of future timeline with this Reagan, Ronald Reagan president.
Yes. He's very Reagan-y, yeah.
Reaganomics.
And, so this new crime... this new crime wave that's happening, the mutants, cause Batman to, he can't sit quietly anymore and has to jump into the fray and pretty much has to save, I mean, the entirety of Gotham by the end of the story, but the leader of the
mutants,
big guy, cuts his teeth down to
razor
fangs, yeah. And that's probably, I mean, it's Batman comes back on the scene, and he's all, I mean, almost like Batman Year One. He's very cocky and kind of like, yeah, I'll just get back into the action. But as it turns out, he realizes quickly, obviously, as time's gone on, he has aged and loses his battle with the leader of the mutants, and has to, once again, like, kind of find his way, just like similar to Year One, and go from there and kind of redefine himself as the Dark Knight of Gotham.
But ultimately, after defeating the mutant and with the Joker being inside of his asylum...
Yes.
We see the rebirth of Joker and then the eventual death of Joker. Probably my favorite death ever. Breaking your own neck is like... intense. Especially like...
Spoiler.
Well, it's 1986.
Hey. There's a shelf
life. Some of us just read this.
1986, I think spoilers are out of
there. There's a shelf life on the spoiler.
I usually do a year on spoilers.
Okay. Well,
okay, continue. We're well past Sorry.
That. But still, like, the way it was drawn, I know you saw the movie rendition of Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
But the way it's drawn is so, like,
yeah, it's
like
very
intense.
Is it more graphic?
Well,
it's twisted, the way the characters are drawn, you know?
Just a full disclosure for anybody listening, I'm the newest one to the whole comics movement, if you will.
He is a noob. You are a noob.
Young Padawan.
I don't say noob. That word
you
irritates
get to be
me.
Our
noob.
Padawan.
Noob. I'm going to go slice noobs in Halo.
Listen, Annie. Right. We're going to show you the ropes.
oh snap, dude, that's gross.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I just showed him real quick.
We actually, Owen and I were discussing this the other day about the kind of the semi cop out nature in Joker's mind around that entire scene. Like, so proud of himself.
He was so happy.
He's finally like one up Batman, and it's like Batman. Batman gave you a not, like, killing move, like, a debilitating move. If anything, Batman had the right idea. He's like, you know what? If I can't destroy Joker, I'm going to paralyze him from the neck down and see what, like, what's the most...
If you don't know, Batman has a big thing about not killing. So when he started out,
nowadays,
he actually killed, but...
Obviously not at the beginning with the gun.
In very many reincarnations of Batman, he did not want to kill people. This was supposed to be Joker's big triumph, finally pushing him to a point where he made him kill. But honestly, if you don't know how it went down, Joker pretty much has him and is stabbing him to death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Repeatedly.
Repeatedly, yeah. And in this moment, he has a choice, which is snap this man's neck or, you know, kill him or get stabbed to death. He breaks his neck, but he doesn't quite break it all the way. So Joker's still alive. He's almost a vegetable, and
he's laughs. Alive. He's alive enough to explain to Batman that he has finally defeated him by causing him to kill him, and then proceeds to break his own neck by twisting his head and dying. Now, ultimately, his ultimate goal is realized because everyone is then under the impression that Batman has killed Joker. So, as society, Batman has finally overstepped that bound that boundary from being just like a crime fighter who doesn't kill anybody but fights crime to someone who actually murdered somebody. Which also, in his defense, like if you were going to finally cross that line and move on to actually destroying a villain and getting rid of him completely, the Joker probably would be the number one choice.
I think I was fine. If anything, we saved a lot of lives.
I feel like there wouldn't be that much of a public outcry. Like, no, he should have been tried again.
Their relationship has always been... I mean, even
yin
like...
Yin and yang, man.
Yeah. It's always been different.
Well, Joker... and I apologize, I can't remember the specific comic, but it was something like I referenced earlier. There's a comic book where by the end of it, the Joker is like all drugged up and he's on these all these medications and he's in a hospital bed and Batman is speaking with Joker and they have this like this moment together where they're just discussing very calmly and they're not, there's no evil laughing, there's no like intimidating words from Batman. They're just like, Batman's like, why do you do the things you do? And Joker just is like, I do them because you exist, and if you died, I would probably retire to an island somewhere and never bother anyone again, but as long as you're here, I will continue to fight you. And it's like, wow, that was a very profound series of panels there.
Like old lovers. It's a complicated
one. But Dark Knight Returns ultimately has, one of it's not necessarily a fight one-on-one, Superman versus Batman, but quite a bout.
Yes.
Quite a bout. What was the ultimate end in Dark Knight Returns?
The ultimate end of Dark Knight Returns essentially is to the public eye, I guess, Superman killing Batman. Batman, as like is often discussed back and forth, they have a epic bout, as Ryan said, and Batman preps himself as something Owen's actually mentioned a few times, is that the battle would be extremely one-sided had Superman not allowed Batman to kind of prepare, like, meet me at this point, this time in the future. And so Batman kind of got himself ready, and there was this great battle that ultimately ended in Superman destroying Batman. But in the end, Batman wanted Superman to destroy him, and it was all part of Batman's clever ploy to kind of once again get out of the spotlight so he can recreate an army below the streets of Gotham in order to protect the city from behind the scenes as opposed to a front man.
And ultimately, that's what Batman will always have over Superman, would be the power of intelligence.
Yes, no doubt.
But I want to argue this. Okay? I want to argue the intelligence of Superman. Superman, Batman's got better tactical skills. He's a better tactician than Superman is.
Well, of course, if you can fly through a building, you don't have to be tactical.
Well, but consider this, you know, doesn't require much
tact.
Superman does have a wealth of knowledge at his disposal. You have to consider that he does have his Forges of Solitude.
He has all of the knowledge of Krypton.
Right, in you know, 28 other known galaxies.
Boom.
Cumulative knowledge. You consider things that he does in comic books where he talks about, you know, flying between radar signals so that planes can't pick him up. And air traffic controllers can't pick him up and see him and things like that. There's a comic book where for a charity, Superman actually, they pitch a baseball and he hits it and it lands on a target on the moon. And he actually explains briefly that he has to hit it a specific way at a specific speed so that it doesn't burn up in the atmosphere and that it lands on this target. So it takes like a week for this ball to eventually land and hit on the moon, but it does end up hitting the target. The mind that he has to have, you know, to be able to do that in his head, the math, you know, and then being able to push it. So I think he's intelligent. He, you know, and if he wanted to, he could use his technology. He doesn't. He relies a lot on his powers, but you consider that he has a Superman robot, you know, in the fortress. He has Superman robots.
Yeah.
And it's like one of these robots is so powerful that it took, you know, the combined forces of like the Teen Titans and the Young Justice to beat one, and in one of, you know, and Donna Troy died in the process, right. You know, it killed Donna Troy. That's just one of these things, and he's got several in the fortress, you know. I know Batman's got the Batcave,
but he's got a giant dinosaur.
Of the two men, and they and really a
big
went at
penny.
It.
Big
penny. Yeah, and a giant penny, yeah.
A giant penny.
You know, Superman's got a mech that revitalizes him while he's inside, you know, and...
But my argument was always the Boy Scout mentality to the, like, the cold, hard detective mind of Batman. Like, whereas in Dark Knight Returns, like, the battle that takes place, no doubt, Superman asks Batman, where do you want to meet and when? And then he's like, meet me in Crime Alley and blah, blah, blah. And then he gets this whole prep time where he does all this stuff. Whereas, so there is this, you have a week time off the top of my head where both of them could have been prepping. Superman could have been like, well, I get, knowing Batman, like, I know him, he's going to come at me hard. Like, and like he's not going to sit down and just have
what
a quiet talk.
What prep do you do, though? Well,
lead suit.
Yeah, lead suit. Like, Owen, like, if he had a lead suit, fight done.
Yeah, lead suit. The one thing that, you know, the only weakness that Superman has that he cannot prepare himself against
versus
is
Batman.
Magic.
Okay, yeah.
It's magic, right? And the only element that Batman does not use and doesn't understand
and
is
doesn't
magic.
Acknowledge.
Yeah, doesn't acknowledge. He uses is magic.
You think with all the money he has, he'd have like David Copperfield or Siegfried and Roy come over
like,
and
walking
like,
through.
Like, do something. Like, teach him how to pull a quarter from behind someone's ear. That might scare Superman. Like, oh, shit. It's getting real.
Yeah.
I should probably dip out for a while.
So having said that, so
let's
Batman used that. Batman used that time to prepare for Superman, and not only that, but predicted many of Superman's as he's going to this meeting in Dark Knight Returns. He's scanning the city with his X-ray vision, trying to find Batman. And Batman has set up missiles in the buildings that will locate X-rays, so that when he knows that Superman will ultimately scan for him, these missiles will shoot Superman. And it's like, Superman could have, I mean, he could have done anything. Like, he could have used that X-ray vision maybe prior to the meeting. Who knows? And, like, well, he's right there. I see him, like, ready to go. Yeah, he's setting up missiles. What's this that he's doing? He's got the time. Like, he could fly around
and
check it out.
You gotta ask yourself, where did Batman receive these missiles? I don't know where you can buy them. I know.
Wayne Enterprises.
I know at some time he did travel to the Middle East.
Oh, my God. All right,
America.
Dark Knight Returns a huge part in the comic book history mythos. Now I'd like to talk about 1993's Nightfall. Owen.
Okay, Nightfall. So Brilliant. Nightfall's
the introduction of a new character.
Yeah, Bane.
Unlike the Bane. The Bane you may know. There's a little.
Yeah, unlike the Bane you may be familiar with. He did grow up in a prison. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was somewhere in South America or Central America.
Was it Mexico?
It was like, well, it was
lower. Yeah.
Lower. Oh, okay. Lower.
Lower, a little lower than Mexico.
He was pretty much, he's pretty much this kind of mercenary, villainous character, you know. He was pretty brilliant as far as how he went about taking down Batman. He's one of the few characters who actually figures out who Batman is.
Mm-hmm. Talk about speaking of tacticians.
Yeah, tacticians. Figures out who Batman is simply by looking at him and looking at his body language and seeing Bruce Wayne and looking at his body language and just telling that the two are the same. He creates an amazing gauntlet. He releases a bunch of prisoners from Arkham. They run rampant, causing chaos. Batman, who at the time is sick, has to now run this gauntlet. He has to, you know, he has to go and capture all these people who have escaped from Arkham. He's running himself 24/7, and he's ill. And just like the character, he never ever takes a break. He never sleeps.
Regardless of how much Alfred, yeah, so he really should rest.
He keeps pushing himself and pushing himself, not realizing that waiting is Bane. Eventually, it gets to a point where Batman encounters Scarecrow, who by this time is kind of a weaker villain, and he can't even take out the Scarecrow. Scarecrow gets away. So he kind of calls it a night at that point. He goes,
skinny bastard.
I'm not feeling it. Maybe he'll tomorrow.
Yeah, he's not feeling good. You know, Batman is just...
Let me take some Scareflu and we'll see about this tomorrow.
Scarecrow's equally confused. So I'm just going to go?
So he can't catch him. So he goes, he's in the cave. He's taking his cowl off. I mean, he's totally in rest mode. He's ready to put the robe on and hit the sack. He comes out of a secret entrance, and in his living room stands Bane, fully prepped. Bane is in incredible shape and has Venom. So Venom is this super steroid that Batman experimented with actually prior to running into Bane.
In Venom.
Yeah,
I believe his name in the comic book,
Venom.
It was
clever.
Batman. It was addictive in nature, and ultimately, Batman, you know, decided it's against his principles to use this.
Makes sense.
And Bane ends up getting it later on and is using it. Now he's got the super steroid that makes him huge and super strong. Batman, who is completely tired and sick and just so worn out from everything, is almost helpless. And Bane beats the living snot out of him in the house. It comes down with the very iconic image of Bane breaking Batman over his back.
Which was actually mimicked well. And
yeah, Dark Knight Rises got that pretty darn spot on.
Screenshot pretty dead on.
And to add insult to injury, Bane doesn't end there. He actually takes Batman, broken and bleeding, and he takes him to the center of Gotham. This would be like the equivalent of like a Times Square. And on top of a giant projector, screams into the city amidst the chaos, and people see him holding Batman mangled and broken, and he throws his body into the street. And everyone's sort of watching this, you know, broken figure bleeding out. But luckily, they is not the end for Batman. Actually, there's an awesome rescue where an ambulance comes in, the guys get out, they grab Batman, they get all the people back, they throw them into the back of the ambulance and drive away, and you're kind of wondering, oh my gosh, you know, how are they not going to figure out who he is at this point? You know, he's going to the hospital, they're going to take his mask off. But it's revealed very soon after.
Is important for spinal injuries.
But it's revealed soon after he's in the van that it is Alfred and young Tim Drake, Robin, who were the EMT guys. So they take him to the cave, they patch him up, and a young fella by the name of what was his name?
Jean-Paul.
Jean-Paul, yes. Who Jean-Paul? Little backstory on Jean-Paul.
Jean-Paul Valley was a pretty much an
assassin trained by like a rogue sort of Catholic Church group,
and he was kind of this brainwashed Jason Bourne kind of assassin. Mm-hmm. And encountered Batman. Batman actually realized that he wasn't sort of just some villain, that he was actually under the control of another organization. He takes down the organization, frees Jean-Paul, and actually brings him into the fold with his crew and kind of trains him to fight and deal with his sort of psychosis. But also, you know, his skills are undeniable, and he's thinking he'd be a great asset on his team with Robin and Batgirl and all the other Bat family. And this time, Jean-Paul takes over and is Batman while Bruce Wayne is sort of in this rehabilitation period. Unfortunately, rocking the cowl turns out to be too much for Jean-Paul. He ends up going a little nuts, gets a little violent.
Drunk with power.
Starts going the route of the original incarnation of Batman. Augments his costume to incorporate weaponry. Starts killing people and maiming people. He encounters Bane. Beats the snot out of Bane with his new mechanized bat suit. Which is a little disappointing, because in the finale, when Batman returns to sort of fight Jean-Paul and take back the cowl, you never really get a rematch between Bane and Batman. Mm-hmm. You have this moment where Bane prepares, beats the heck out of Batman, you know, and gets all this rep for being the guy who beat Batman, but you never get a round two. There's never a moment where...
Really?
They square back off. You kind of get it in, you know, here and there. The closest you get is a quick moment, I think, in the Crisis song.
Well, which is interesting, because they run into different instances where Batman and Bane will, like, fight later on in other comic books, and it's always just kind of like a passerby.
Bane's kind of
like, oh, hey, Bane, by the way, we still need to fight.
Yeah.
Can we do that real quick?
You broke me? Yeah, I owe you one.
I remember that time back in the day when...
You remember. You were standing on the building, and you tossed me down. It was great.
Am I remembering this right, or was that someone else? Or...
I was sick at the time, so...
But he eventually comes back, Bruce Wayne, he comes back out of his sedation and his training period. They told him he would never walk again, and he trains his body. It's actually really cool. Christopher Nolan... with Dark Knight Rises, there's a really cool moment in the movie where he has to climb out of the hole, and the whole thing is when you can, you know, don't use the rope. That's what was holding him back. So he takes off the rope, and then he makes a jump and crawls out of the hole and saves the day. It's really cool. In the final book for the Dark Knight series, or for the Nightfall series, Batman kind of is in this ninja outfit, and he goes to the top of this building. And it's this building that he's jumped off and leapt off of from, you know, 100 times. And he gets to the top and he looks down and he's afraid.
As you describe
it. He's afraid to make the jump. And, you know, he keeps saying he's not ready. And finally, when he's finally ready to put the mask and the suit back on and do it, he walks up and he jumps off and... uses his grappling hook and swings, and he makes a jump. It's very similar to that moment. But he finally puts the mask back on. He encounters Jean-Paul, beats him down, and then goes on to be the Batman once more.
Nice. Well, it was a big moment in Batman history. So let's actually get, you mentioned Christopher Nolan, so let's get into some of the movies. The Tim Burton era... which is, you know, quite dark, but it's still probably, you know, I still enjoy the hell out of it.
Oh, I absolutely. Do. I think it's amazing.
It does not get old.
It does not get old.
It's timeless.
I mean, it's a different, you know, there's kind of a little bit of an homage to the Adam West era, where it's kind of, you know, there's some campy moments, but it kind of just goes with the dark feel of the whole.
Yeah, the dark tone. It's very, little Batman Year One, little bit of the Killing Joke in there.
A big part of the Killing Joke. So as far as Tim Burton, he originally, you know, he was going to do three films. They were going to have Robin in the second film with Batman Returns. There were two people up for the role, and I wanted to know if anybody here knew who they were.
I do not know who was up for Robin.
I I don't.
I'd like to take a guess.
Did you see my?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
I'm guessing from no knowledge of this whatsoever.
John Lovitz.
Incorrect. I'm going with two people.
Okay.
I don't even think would have even been cast. I'm going to go with Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
And Charlie Sheen.
Okay, well, I'm gonna throw a guess in there.
Please. Again,
since we're just throwing blind guesses.
Yeah, because Steve Buscemi, that's insane.
Okay.
That would be awesome. No sense. He would have made a good Joker, though.
I'm trying to think of who I would guess.
Okay, all right. I heard of Christian Bale once, but I heard that was for Joel Schumacher's.
Right. Way after Newsies.
Yeah. So I won't. Yeah.
Hey, that was a good movie.
Post Newsies.
So I won't throw Christian Bale on there, but I'll say Crispin Glover. We're laughing. It was.
That's interesting.
What year did that come
out? And then Johnny Depp.
I'm gonna go with I'm guessing more.
You got Michelle Pfeiffer and
Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly himself.
Other Ryan, what's your?
I don't know. I'm still recovering from some.
Can I guess for him? Is that allowed?
Paul Reubens. Yes, I'll say.
Okay, so
he did say John Lovitz.
P. Reubens,
the person who was second runner up. They actually made the costume and everything. Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh.
Ooh.
That would have been
And good. The first pick, the one that Tim Burton chose, but, they filmed scenes, but they took him out, was Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans.
Yeah. The
You've got to be kidding me.
Really?
That is the worst first choice I've ever heard.
he was signed.
Marlon Wayans.
Super
We're talking
made.
About a scary movie, right? Marlon Wayans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't be a menace.
Glad that guy got
Yeah, don't be a menace.
Hey, don't be a menace in South Central while drinking a juice in the hood is an awesome movie.
Yeah, I wasn't denying actor.
He's a fantastic
you know, and
actor.
He's hilarious. But
he's phenomenal
right
there.
I don't, in settings.
He's not John Lovitz as far as being in
it. So it was really Tim Burton's way of pushing the envelope again because he already did with Penguin.
Making him more
of a mutant
than
Danny DeVito, man. He already is a mutant.
For him to go with, you know, like colorblind casting for that role was, you know, a big move, and I thought it was a cool move. But Marlon Wayans isn't necessarily
an actor.
I don't see it.
Quinn, what is wrong with you?
He is an actor. Come on,
Marlon Wayans is a great actor.
He is a great actor.
He is White Chicks
for a Dream.
All right, let's just move on because this is creating a whole new argument.
I'm just saying it's a good movie, and he does a phenomenal job in it.
As playing a drug addict, that's really... No, it's
considering his other roles that he does.
Man, I think you're right. Let's continue.
All right, so after the Burton era, of course, we saw the Schumacher era.
Jolie. You get bat nipples.
What happened?
The classic bat nipples.
I'm not going to lie. I have a love-hate relationship with those movies.
Okay.
I own them.
I own them.
I love the movies, hate that I own them.
Yeah.
I was too young to have seen Batman in theaters.
Okay.
I think that came out in 89.
It was
89. It was 89 that they came out. Now Batman Returns, by that time, I saw that in theaters. I remember they sold glasses at McDonald's and all this stuff, and it was a big... huge deal.
I only have Batman Forever glasses from McDonald's.
Yeah, they did them for Batman Forever
cool
too
logo.
When that came
cool
out.
Logo with the Batman Forever.
And I remember there was a show on Nickelodeon called Bing, and it was one of these it was called Bing, the Sound of Something New, and it was just about little stuff that young kids liked that was coming out, and they were like, new Batman movie coming out, and I was thinking, wow, and they would show clips for it. I had no idea at the time that it wasn't Tim Burton and that it wasn't Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And I could tell from just a little bit. I was like, wow, that looks really different from what I'm used to seeing. But whatever.
A lot of color in that commercial.
There was a lot of colors.
That's really
and and then later on, I find out, oh, it's not Tim Burton and it's not Michael Keaton. And I was a little heartbroken at first. And they said it was Val Kilmer. And I did not tie it together with Top Gun. You know, I didn't know
Iceman.
I didn't know who Val Kilmer was. I just knew who Iceman was.
Holy
you know?
Cow!
So it wasn't until later that I'm like, oh, it's Iceman. Okay, and I thought they were awesome when they came out. I love Jim Carrey.
Also, I believe it's the only blonde portrayal of Bruce Wayne.
Mm.
Is it Maron? Christian Bale's dirty boy.
You know, Val Kilmer would have played a great, like, Ezreal.
Well, the first. Oh, I know. Let me just go on record saying the first, then. Christian Bale has brown hair. But if you want to argue dirty blonde, then that's fine. Oh,
yeah. But he has brown eyes, which pissed me off.
So anyway. Why does that make you mad?
Made me mad.
As someone with brown eyes, why does that make
you
mad?
No, it has nothing to do with your eyes.
Yes.
Oh.
It's just Bruce Wayne does not have brown eyes.
All right. Oh, I thought you just had some weird
anti-brown
eye hate thing going on.
So, I mean, but yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Joel Schumacher took, like, the dark Tim Burton-esque that you will, I mean, that dawns almost every early Tim Burton movie, I guess you could say, because a lot of his newer ones
after Big Fish, it got colorful.
And it just, like, Joel Schumacher's got this, it's bright. I love
a lot of lights.
The music was no longer Danny Elfman.
No, that horrible, was the biggest thing. Horrible.
And they got a great theme for Batman.
Joel Schumacher's Gotham City, I'm a big fan of, actually.
It's
pretty sweet.
The big epic, like, there's just men holding up buildings is like the theme of Joel Schumacher's. Like, it's like Atlas, like everywhere.
Atlas,
like,
again, giant faces like, coming out of a building.
And I thought I loved
Gotham
that
was
about,
built for like but flood weather.
Exactly, yeah.
Just waiting for
exactly.
A flood,
well, yeah. That's like incorporated like this like
gothic
architecture. Gothic architecture is just. Was killer, which was incredible compared to.
It was so
over
the top.
There's a main scene in the movie that is like pink and green color, like entire scene through, and then they like walk outside with this like epic gothic like guys holding up the buildings. Yeah. It's just like, man, if only they designed the inside of the buildings like
and
the outside.
Well, that like to put on there. Now, but here's the thing, though, when you consider the history of Batman as in the comic books and his evolution, and then you look at the Schumacher films, it is really cool. Because if you look at the Tim Burton ones, Batman kills people in both of those movies. You know, especially in the final act of Batman, he kills like everyone in the street, all the gangsters and the Joker men in the street. He flies down the Batwing and shoots them all. And then you know, he doesn't really throw Joker off the roof of the building, but you know, he pretty much causes him to die. And you know, he uses his bats to push Penguin through. You know, Penguin dies. And he, you know, and he didn't kill as many people in Batman Returns, but he killed that circus guy, put the bomb on him, and threw him in the and the sewer, and he blew up, you know. So he kills a couple people in those movies. And then by the time he gets to Joel Schumacher, now he's kind of like no one dies. He doesn't. He kind of causes Two-Face to die, but it was the first one. You know, I mean, I guess Batman Returns, Catwoman survived, but she's always kind of been a iffy kind of a villain, you know.
Well, it's hard to kill her.
She's more neutral.
Yeah, she's more
neutral
character.
She's very up for herself, kind of.
But Batman
they
Forever
say she
was,
has
like,
nine
the first
lives.
Time that, you know, like, a character lived at the end. You know, like, the Riddler didn't die. He got locked up and put in Arkham, and they introduced
with
Arkham.
His,
yeah.
Orange-ass hair.
And the, with his orange hair.
Well, also, I think with the Joel Schumacher ones, it was almost like you went to go see these actors who are already established play these villainous roles.
Yeah.
So Uma Thurman is Poison Ivy, you know, Arnold. The future governor.
Who played Bane? And who was that?
He was some...
some random dude. Some
which like we need wrestler. To... Which also, like, Owen, you could probably address
yeah,
as well.
Jim Carrey.
Is the Bane in Batman
yeah,
Forever.
Yeah, and because of Batman Forever, I think it... Or not Batman Forever, but Batman and Robin. That is one thing. Know. It did kind of ruin the perception of Bane because... I think a lot of people thought he was this big, mindless...
Monkey work!
Right.
Bane smash!
And it wasn't. In the comic book, he was really intelligent, and he was very, you know... He figured out who Batman
they
was...
They used him as muscle.
...by looking at him, you know?
Then he started as, like, this really scrawny guy.
Yeah, the original... Like, the way it started in the movie was he was, like... You know, it was like a prisoner of some sort that they kidnapped for this random black market military Cuban missile crisis, whatever kind of experiment with plants. Plants made him into this giant dude, which, okay, whatever. But they started, and they basically just pumped him full of this stuff. Now, I don't know what kind of, again, this is fantasy land we're talking about, but what kind of a chemical can you pump into somebody? Anything you pump into somebody, make them four times the size, and they're able to survive.
Yeah,
I mean that alone. But going back to the movie,
I don't think we're here to talk about the realism.
I know. No. I'm just saying.
Especially for Joel Schumacher.
It's just trying to keep the conversation. But also, I mean, you look at the other big talents. You had Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. Yeah. Jim Carrey as the Riddler. Jim Carrey as the Riddler I thought was really good.
Well, I mean,
I did think he was...
Riddler was actually supposed to be in the Tim Burton film that was canceled.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Robin Williams.
Well, Riddler was also supposed to be Christopher Nolan.
You know, I said Robin Williams would be a good ventriloquist, actually.
No, he looks like him.
Did you know that? He does, kind of especially, yeah. He's the right age now to play that character.
One-hour photo, like, they were gonna looks have, like, one-hour photo. One-hour photo. Like, he could be the ventriloquist in the movie One-Hour Photo. Especially how he's playing with
that. One of the rumors was they were going to have, what is it, Riddler and... one of the
Nolan ones?
Christian. Yeah, and they talk about death.
Well, they were gonna have what's his name? The guy who's gonna play
Paul Bettany was rumored.
No,
the guy from Priest, Knight's Tale. He played Geoffrey Chaucer, Jarvis, Knight's Tale, and stuff like that.
The voice of Jarvis.
I'm talking about he's the actual newscaster in the Nolan films. He's from Tim Burton, Edward Scissorhands. He's a member of the Breakfast Club. What is his name? He's the whippy guy. I met him.
Oh, Michael C. Hall.
No.
That's Dexter.
No, no, but it is. He does have a.
I know it's Michael something.
It's Michael. Initial.
The blonde kid from Breakfast Club.
Yeah, hold on, I'm pulling it up.
Who was in? Killing me. Chris Nolan's.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
Hall's in it.
Anthony Michael Hall.
I knew Michael's in it.
Was the newscaster in the Nolan films. In the Joker one, he's the one hanging upside down, kind of saying, like, about it. Until the Batman does it, he's dropping the papers and they're falling up because he's hanging upside down. And there was, like, mutterings of him being the Riddler. And I always thought, the only issue I had with it was that his name was not Edward Nigma. And I was like, I could see that, like, him being a good Riddler, and they kind of incorporating him, like, maybe from the experience of this, and he's, like, in the media field, so he would have a lot of information kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I would thought that was an interesting idea, but they had his name on the newscast, and I was like, not Edward Nigma, you lost it. Like, cannot be the Riddler.
See, what I heard was I forget his name now, but the guy from Priest and all that stuff.
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany, that's his name. I just said it, too. That's embarrassing.
That one's like, I didn't even know. I just remembered it from you saying.
No. When I originally heard the rumor that he was going to be the Riddler, I was like, that's awesome. I think he's a good enough actor. He's been in drama, comedy, I mean, all these different action, stuff like that. He's a good enough actor, he could do it. And plus, he fits the body type, you know, everything like that. Like,
well, I think it would be a shame to...
I don't think you could have the dork from Breakfast Club.
Like the Robin... Riddler. The Robin... Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, the Robin Williams, Jim Carrey aspect, I think, kind of... To a lot of fans... Not necessarily fans, but, like, viewers... probably, like, encompassed what Riddler was. Like, he's crazy and he's nutty and he's always kind of doing that Jim Carrey thing, but, like, Riddler wasn't necessarily like that.
Robin,
I could see Riddler sadistic.
Robin Anthony Williams Michael was Hall, actually going to be cast, but they couldn't shave off enough body hair to make him, you know, fit suitable for
like his think of cinema. Robin Williams in, like, Death of Smoochie. That would have been a Riddler kind of role. You know what I mean? Because he's just like, he's mad.
He's mad.
He is angry.
And he wears that nice bowler hat.
I will say,
they're coming back.
Joker and the Riddler are battling for GQ's best dressed villain.
What is that?
I have to say that
Joker... Look out, man. They're suited up. What's Bane running around in?
True.
Depending on the
he's pretty
depiction.
Much always wearing tank top.
Or in Christopher Nolan, he's wearing like a goofy-looking vest from like an 80s R&B video that never aired.
Is that what that vest is?
I actually like that vest.
Well, no, it was badass, but you know, the look of it was very like, in the 80s, like, this is what they're going to wear in the future. Like, let's rock this, you know?
He does have his hands. He has the old hands in the suspenders, like.
This is going to piss Ryan off.
We should have done the whole Christopher Nolan portion in the Bane voice.
That would have been great.
Oh, I'm in.
Well, anyway, Christopher Nolan was our last, interpretation of the character. Did a really good job. Took it to a different level with the whole realism thing. We'll see how he does with other characters as a producer.
I'd like to hear, because I know you had some pretty strong opinions about the Nolan movies. I'd like to hear some from you as far as
I would love to get your opinion on
brace
tape.
Brace yourself, kids at home.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings in the room. But it's just
whose
not...
feelings?
Well,
I'm bracing myself.
He could have wore contacts, first of all. Okay? That would have been nice. What?
Let him finish. Oh, let him finish.
Who?
His hair could have been a little darker. Okay?
Who?
He's talking about
Batman. Oh, my bad. I wasn't paying attention. Okay.
Here's the theme of this issue.
He could have done a better effing Batman voice.
Effing? Effing?
Which one you liked.
All right, that's cool. All right. Effing? I think Zero Becky.
Let's see. It could have been a better movie.
As I said, like a precursor to this question, Ryan has strong opinions on the Nolan.
George Clooney was a good Batman.
Oh my god.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Clooney. Alright? I'm down with G. Clooney.
Like, as a movie, they're good. As a Batman movie, I could care less.
Okay.
Fight him. Get him.
Alright. So, what was the first thing you said?
As far as the physical look of the game.
This is going to be another one where me and
I... Oh, okay. So, alright. You know, with the eye color thing and the hair color thing. Yeah, but it's not such a big deal. I mean,
yeah, but those are little things that I like.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, not that it ever happens with Batman. But like with Flash, in the comic books, it happens a lot where it's like, okay, Wally West has green eyes.
Mm.
But sometimes his eyes are blue.
Mm.
And they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, sometimes...
Batman's pretty consistent, though.
I know. Well, I'm saying, you know, Wally West is pretty much the only character that I can look at and consistently go, oh, wow, sometimes your eyes are blue, and sometimes you're green.
But you're really fast.
So, how can anyone tell?
So, you're the flat.
I'm gonna forget. Well, it used to be one of the things. Like, how could you tell if it was Barry or Wally or Bart, who, you know, because they've all worn it at one point. And you look at their eyes and go, okay, if they have green eyes, you know it's Wally. But anyway.
Can I interject real quick? And I don't know if anyone else realized this. Before Ryan said they could have been better movies, he complained about the eye color.
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking at the physical traits.
I know.
I kind of agree with Ryan. Though Brian's, as far as your critique of the Nolan films, it was... I don't like the eyes.
I don't like the eyes.
I don't like the eyes. I don't like the eyes, and I also don't like the movies.
You know what? I didn't really like the eyes and the hair color.
Anyway,
I felt like, but Christian Bale still, you know.
What about the voice?
The voice. Here's my thing about the Batman voice. I think that
where the rest of the drugs going?
You know, I don't want to speak for Frank Miller, but in my mind, whenever I'm reading a Frank Miller Batman, I kind of hear that voice. Like, I feel like, you know, especially with Frank Miller's, like, gritty artwork or some of the artwork that's used in his writing, the grit of it, it's like that, the goddamn Batman.
Batman, I was going to say Batman and Robin, All-Star Batman and Robin.
Batman, yeah.
They specifically say, like, his voice sounds like gravel. Like it's like his voice
right, but
is...
But see, I've always been under the belief that the voice he does
opinions,
as Batman
his eyes should be dreamy.
Is his real voice. And the voice he does as Bruce Wayne is fake. That's because Kevin Conroy did it that way.
That's an interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
That's always been because I mean the
I feel
animated
like I'm
series
on
season, put
crossfire
on,
right
you
now.
Know?
See, I always thought he changed it because. I mean, I guess the same thing. You know,
same
you're,
thing.
You're changing your voice, so it doesn't matter. No one's gonna know what you actually sound like anyway. But I always read into it as. That, you know, when he's Batman.
It was very...
He puts on his Batman voice. And they're very Batman's voices. Like, I liked the... Here's the thing with the
also the cow
the Christian Bale
give
Batman voice.
Mobility.
I felt like, in comparison to other Batmans... And I have to rewatch these movies now that we're bringing this up. But I feel like Christian Bale had more dialogue as Batman than any of the other actors did, you know?
Batman.
Yeah,
like,
it's like Michael Keaton in the first one, you know. You know,
how much do you weigh?
You know, how much do you weigh? Yeah.
You killed my parents.
You know? Right. Like, he didn't have a whole lot of lines as Batman.
How much do you weigh?
That's, you know?
Was he running a...
One of my favorite lines in Batman.
How much do you weigh?
You know?
How much do you weigh? and then he does the
and I think,
feeling
you know,
around his belt.
Val Kilmer, same thing. He didn't really have a whole lot of lines. You know, I'll get drive through. And you know, and that's about it. You know,
no, it's an excellent.
This is
and,
where Superman
you know,
works
George
hello.
Clooney, yeah, George Clooney. George Clooney just used his voice for both characters. I felt like George Clooney was.
When you're George Clooney, you don't have to change anything.
Yeah,
he was George Clooney. who dressed up as Batman. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when they
I
made
felt like in the beginning of the movie, Alfred's like George Clooney. Why are you in the Batcave?
Right.
It looks like when
comics,
they made
like a lot of the comics I read. I didn't really get into a lot of Batman. Robin stuff. It's mainly just Batman by himself. Mm-hmm. And it's all inner dialogue. So
it's all, yeah, in his head, yeah.
So I guess maybe also seeing, like, you're right, Bale does talk quite a lot. Maybe a little too much. Yeah, like, my favorite scene in the first film is in the warehouse when he's just, like, picking off people. Yeah. To me, that's more, like,
that's Batman, yeah, and from their perspective, so you, like, never quite see him. And,
like, don't really know he exists, but, like, Christian Bale's Batman, he's just, like, he might as well just walk down the street.
Well, I'll say one last thing on it, and it's something that you just mentioned. Throughout the Batman series, and I realize, obviously, that, like, movies, at least, that something you couldn't necessarily be able to do, but one of my, just reading the comic books, like, Batman's internal dialogue is one of, like, the cornerstones of, like, a Batman comic book, him doing those things. And obviously there's no, like, like, just have, like, an internal monologue going at all times during a movie. Like, that would be horrible. But it's like, it always seemed like, as far as a Batman goes, like, it always seems like that'd be something that was lacking in it, is, like, no, Batman's in a constant state of thinking and talking to himself. No,
like, the movies would be very Maltese Falcon.
Yes.
I don't think they could do internal dialogue, but they could definitely do, like, the, like Ryan and I were talking about the other day, the cereals. And they could have a narrator. Like, no, Batman walks to the store.
George Clooney walks to the store. This is Batman.
I was talking about
the... Just says Batman.
I was talking about the 1930s cereals with Brocho and...
with Brocho.
And it's, I mean, that's really... All right,
we're just going to go by my real name then, since everybody...
No, you're Brocho now, Brocho.
You're stuck, Brocho.
What's up, Brocho?
Hey, Brocho, what do you think about that?
All right, so we pretty much covered the films.
Can I be called Amanda Wheeler from now on?
That is weird.
Is that one of those things? That's weird.
We're kind of reaching our hour mark, so I just want to go over the next phase of Batman. There's actually a new show coming out called Beware the Batman. It actually is Alfred and Batman teamed up. Alfred has two pistols. Batman has, you know, ninja skills.
What kind of pistols?
They look, they're kind of old. Like, it's very, like...
Western six-shooter
kind of thing? No, probably 1911s.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So it's really different. And even the drawing of Batman is very his original incarnation.
Yeah.
So he has, like, that really big dome head with the big ears. So, you know, Batman's still going to be around. I don't know... You know, movie-wise, I don't think there's anything up and running.
Nothing
or
in the works yet.
Just a lot of whispers, but...
Hopes.
Hopes and dreams. Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate everyone listening to the first episode, or first issue. I'm not going to be very good at that.
Issue.
First issue of
issue number
Heads.
One.
And where are we going to go for Twitter?
At HeroHeads, one word.
And you're in charge of the Twitter, so...
Yes.
In a way, it's like getting in touch with Brocho.
If you want to get to know Brocho.
Or I want to get to know Brocho.
No at HeroHeads or at Brocho Cinco.
Oh. You don't want to get into the head of Brocho.
What is everyone else's Twitter?
At Ryan D. Krebs.
At Ravenous.
At Broen.
At Broen.
Owen hasn't created one yet,
coming
but he will.
Coming soon.
All right, well, again, thank you for listening, and make sure to tune in to our next episode, which will be in a new issue. God, I'm not going to get that. New issue in 2 weeks, and that's going to be with Iron Man. So, anybody else want to say anything?
Closing comments.
I just want to say that.
Please.
Closing argument and closing comments.
I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am Batman.
I have no idea what that is.
On that, man.
Yeah, I ruined it.
That would have been a good closer.
Well, you can always edit that.
See you next time.
Oh, now we can't.
Hey, folks. Dierks Bentley here. If you've seen one of my concerts, you know I'm all about energy. Performing, recording, traveling, being a husband and a father, it's a busy life. And I need to be 100% every day. So when my battery starts running low, I grab a sugar-free, vitamin-packed 5-hour energy shot. It tastes great, and it gets me back to 100% fast. Try it. It could work for your busy life, too. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
Can I get a drum roll, please? It's time for the best deal of the year on Xfinity. And ask about even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile. That's simple, easy, awesome. Click call or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.